Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8-11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. No hail. No hail right now. We survived the hail of yesterday. It is early. Yeah, don't want to speak too soon because I know it caught me by surprise yesterday. The what is happening here? Anyway, Julio Diaz, he is our good friend, host of Let's Go Pensacola. You can hear that at 4 o'clock tomorrow here on News Radio. Also the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So we had a movie released this weekend, Transformer Rise of the Beast, and a not Michael Bay, right?
He's still a producer on the series, but he's not directing them anymore.
Okay, all right, fair enough. And assessment?
Well, this is the second best live-action Transformers movie that we've seen.
Oh, what? That's such a weird not endorsement. Okay, go ahead.
Your pausing made me pause. Don't think that means that it's a good movie.
I see. That's how I interpreted is of the eight bad movies, this is second best.
Well, no. Let's back up a little bit here. There is one good Transformers movie, and that's Bumblebee.
Oh, fair enough.
Bumblebee is actually a really, really good movie. In fact, here's my recommendation to you. If you want to see a Transformers movie this weekend, go find wherever Bumblebee's streaming or pick it up on DVD, Blu-ray. It actually is a really good movie, and it's worth seeing. It's the only one that's actually good and worth seeing because this is I call this the second best movie because it has some things that the first five or six or whatever it is that Michael Bay directed didn't have. It has a story that is actually consistent from beginning to end.
Look at you with the shade. Okay, here's what I want to know, Julio. Okay, I get that you have not liked these movies, but they are of course massively popular for people who have loved the other Transformers movies. What are they going to say here?
I just don't know because I mean the thing with this movie is like it was a discussion that we had last night. At least those movies, those early movies, the Michael Bay movies, had a certain audacity to them.
Yeah.
This is like a watered down attempt at making a Marvel movie. You can see where they were like, oh, we're going to put all these pieces in place and people are going to like it just like they like the Marvel movies, but it just has no soul. There's just no heart there. It's just packed with cliches and, you know, here's all these story points and they try to do a little bit of character development with a couple of characters. Like it makes an effort at least. I give it that. And that's why I give it the credit of being, you know, a bit stronger of a film than the earlier films.
All right. Well, it sounds like it's a ringing unendorsement, and I appreciate that.
If all you want is to turn your brain off and, you know, look at some cool visuals, it's got some of those. I do think that the new beast, they're called Maximals.
Okay.
They're the animal Transformers. They're cool to look at. There's some interesting voices there, including Michelle Yeoh for some reason.
Okay.
This is not the film you want to come off your Oscar with, but you know, here you go.
Well, she probably got paid okay for it, so we'll take that. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
It's actually a pretty big week next week. The Flash is coming out, which I've been looking forward to for some time, but we also got Elemental, the new Pixar film, is coming out, and there's a horror comedy called The Blackening, which is I'm a little dubious about because I don't care for the director, but it does look like it's got some interesting commentary to make. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Who's the director?
Tim Story, director of the Ride Along movies and the two terrible Fantastic Four movies. And The first two, I should say the first two, because we've had three terrible Fantastic Four movies.
He's overflowing a veritable font of encouragement here this morning. I know. I love that you're honest about all this. That's fantastic. And we've got a TikTok comedian here who's apparently very attractive, and that's his big appeal. So, fine. You know, I don't have too many thoughts about it, but, you know, I guess the people who know him are willing to pay tickets for him. Is that right?
You know what? The thing is, overall, whether you think this guy's funny or not, I've watched a few of his videos. I hadn't heard of him before last week myself. But I've watched a couple of his videos. The thing that he's known for is doing the crowd work, you know, interacting with the crowd.
Oh,
and
okay.
He's pretty good at that.
Good.
He's funny. I don't
Matt
think
Rife,
he's the
by the way, is who we're
the world.
About.
But, yeah. I don't personally think he's the funniest guy in the world, but, you know, humor is subjective. And
good enough
is,
to add a second
funny.
Show, got, you know, so you yeah, got
to. Well, you know, and that's the thing. We got to be excited on the level of something that's that popular is coming to Pensacola and can sell out two shows that quickly, because hopefully that leads other people to book shows.
Absolutely.
Here.
No, it's certainly
and
good for the city.
It.
I'll take
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock Saturday. I assume you're going to talk more about that tomorrow. Also, the founder and host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Follow them. And Julio, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
816 News Radio 92.3, Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is, again, we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. Highway 98 looking clear, not showing any issues on Cervantes. Taking a look on the west side of Pensacola, not showing any issues there either. Jackson, New Warrington, Fairfield, all good to go. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're thinking about selling your home, of course, you know, I recommend Christina Leverman. She's fantastic at it, sells a lot of homes, like 230 last year. Okay, so she knows what she's doing. But also, the buying side. I had not really thought about this until recently because, you know, she's always looking for people with properties to help them get their home sold quickly. But if you're thinking about buying for the first time, man, I would call her. Like, I wish I could go back in time, you know, and, you know, basically import her back to St. Louis when we were buying our first home and be like, all right, help us with this. Because she'd be fantastic at it. She is the kind of person that you know is going to, you know, cross all the T's, dot all the I's, get everything done, answer your questions, make you feel comfortable in that very overwhelming process of buying a home for the very first time. She knows the seller's perspective, so she knows how to make the offer, what they'll take, what they won't take, what they'll budge on and what they won't, what other people are going to, I mean, just all that stuff, like genuinely an expert at this process. 723-9158 if you're buying or selling. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
First, Fort Bragg, which has at long last been renamed Fort Liberty, an abstract concept which can never be subjected to evolving definitions of virtue and will forever stand as a testament to our collective power to expunge the names of those deemed unsuitable from our midst. Now, we know that some less well-indoctrinated members of the faith might well ask whether soldiers are at liberty to continue to call it Fort Bragg. Obviously not! We only endorse liberty insofar as it is used correctly. Likewise, soldiers are not at liberty to dead name or mispronoun the transgendered service members in their midst, nor are they at liberty to celebrate Pride Month at anything other than maximum enthusiasm. Moreover, they most certainly are not at liberty to drink any other form of alcohol than Bud Light, the most holy and blessed official adult beverage of Fort Liberty. And in order to reinforce the name change, anytime a movie refers to Fort Bragg, these soldiers of liberty are hereby ordered to stand up, insert fingers in both ears, and say na 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 loudly in an organized, proficient military manner until the danger has passed. This, of course, is a temporary measure until all copies of First Blood, 12 Strong, Black Hawk Down, Predator, The Green Berets, A Bridge Too Far, The Longest Day, and Sergeant York can be found, edited, and safely re-released into the wild. Since this historic military base now identifies as Fort Liberty and has undergone appropriate title-affirming care to convert all placards, signs, and insignia to the correct name, any mention of Fort Bragg, even in the historical context of a former military installation, shall be prohibited under the dead-naming protocols of the Elders of Rainbowism 2021 edition. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, growing crops, eating meat, and throwing away food. As Special Presidential Climate Envoy John Kerry this week explained during a speech at Nor Shipping in Oslo, Norway, the planet simply cannot sustain a population of 10 billion, which it's expected to reach by 2050. But even now, making less food, eating less meat, and cleaning our plates are some of the more important things we can do to fight climate change, a global threat which Kerry explained during his speech on the anniversary of D-Day was even greater than the Nazi threat in World War II. He also noted that the courage of our soldiers on the beaches of Normandy is the kind of courage we require to reduce our carbon footprint today, thus using the historic date not to honor our brave soldiers of the past, but to make important and sweeping political claims of the present. In calling on us to storm the beaches of carbon pollution, Kerry noted that the greenhouse emissions created in producing food for today's 8 billion people, especially meat, and those caused when we discard excessive food, which rots and produces methane, is one of the greatest planet killers we must avoid. We, of course, agree with Envoy Kerry and call on farmers everywhere to make less food so there can be more starvation, which will result in fewer people to create carbon emissions. And just as those brave men were willing to lay down their lives for humanity so many years ago, many of us must be willing to lay down our lives in starvation to protect the planet today. Yes, if only those dastardly farmers would grow less food and help us depopulate the globe, perhaps we can save it for those who are fortunate enough to survive the great carbon purge of 2025. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And finally, we celebrate the good work being done by the University of California, Berkeley's African American Studies Department, which recently held its annual Black Graduation Ceremony. Open only to racially black graduates of all majors, safely segregated away from the main graduation ceremony. This embrace of the separate but equal philosophy healthily reinforces the belief that diversity in the student body is intended not to produce unity or integration, but is instead meant to show all the different groups of humans that living together as one is an impossible task and that we can only pretend to be united until such time as we can retreat to the safely balkanized ghetto of people who are like us in immutable characteristics. Of course, Berkeley is not alone in this practice. Columbia University actually holds 6 different identity-restricted commencements, including Native Graduation Celebration, Lavender Graduation Celebration for LGBTQSIA+ students, Asian Graduation Celebration, First Generation and Low-Income Student Graduation Celebration, Latinx Graduation Celebration, and, of course, Black Graduation Celebration. Perhaps Berkeley can do better next year. Now, as of the time of this service, Berkeley has not yet started prohibiting interracial dating, interracial friendships, or interracial workspaces, but they are progressive enough to boldly proclaim that interracial graduations are not so good. Other improvements to follow. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Now, before we dismiss, a reminder that home groups will be starting up next month. If you would like to take the 23andMe DNA test to find out which extra small group you are genetically eligible for, see Janice Washington in Fellowship Hall after the service. The men's study group, How to Repent for Being Male, Even If You Still Identify as One, a 63-week series, will continue under the watchful supervision of Nancy Minglehaller's Sisters of Superiority. Men, please remember to not hold the door open for the sisters when entering the Chapel of Male Guilt, located just behind the rock garden of unintentional masculinity.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal. and go forth and transgress no more.
16-week Siri, you are such a dude. It's a good thing that we have a guest in the studio. I'm sorry, Mr. Merson.
I don't think that Dave Merson's going to interfere. He's more of a what's the thing in Star Trek: The Next Generation? The Prime Directive. He's more of a Prime Directive kind of guy. He's just more going to let whatever happens happens, you know. So
I respect him too much to yell at you like the way I usually do.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Do I?
Do you?
Yeah, no, and the roads are fine, fortunately, right now. You usually areas of congestion, and again, even they're just a little bit lighter today, certainly. Of course, you don't have the school buses or anything, and not showing any problems. Three Mile Bridge doing well, 98 not showing any delays. Clear all the way from Navarre into Pensacola Beach and Alabama. You see an accident or a slowdown, text it in, 437-1620, if you would, if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Back to you.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden and British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak signing off on a big economic agreement yesterday. The two leaders met at the White House and signed the Atlantic Declaration, which Sunak described as a first-of-its-kind economic partnership on artificial intelligence and other commercial relations. The American Red Cross asking folks to donate blood. They say there's a big shortfall in donations over the last month, and they're pretty concerned about it. People who donate this month will get a $10 gift card to a store of their choice. And 21 teenagers were hurt after an elevated walkway collapsed at a beach in Texas. Texas authorities say that happened yesterday in Surfside. Now, that's about 60 miles south of Houston. Officials say, though, the good news, none of their injuries appeared to be life-threatening.
Thanks so much, David. 827 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, we got fan mail in. A text at 437-1620. Your weekly woe to offend, that is very much uneducated. Oh, piercing. And dog whistling. All your racist and homophobic fears, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Hey, don't lump Candy in. She doesn't do it. It says, and I think you guys giggle and laugh at it like it's funny. Well, I mean, that's accurate. We do giggle and laugh at it like it's funny. So 437-1620. Feel free to, by the way, you are always welcome to disagree with me about anything. I don't say that often enough. I would say it all the time, but you know, there's only so much time in the show. But yeah, you're always feel welcome to disagree with me. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? Oh, Gavin Newsom, you know, the guy who's not really running for president, but kind of pretending he is, California governor, he has now proposed the 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution for gun control. He thinks that he can get an amendment passed to the Constitution, which would, prohibit anybody under the age of 21 federally from buying any gun. It would make it so that you have to have universal background checks. It would prohibit you from buying what he's calling assault weapons, what I think of as sporting rifles or, you know, civil unrest response devices. Whatever you want to call them is up to you. But, you know, AR-15, AK-47, Ruger Ranch rifle, you know, basically anything that gun control advocates don't really understand, they just call it an assault weapon. He says things that serve no other purpose than to kill as many people as possible in a short amount of time. Weapons of war our nation's founders never foresaw. I just leave that where it is. A waiting period for all gun purchases. So those are the four elements of his 28th Amendment that he wants to propose. Will it go anywhere? I cannot imagine that it will. But, you know, as I said, I think he's running for president in 2028. So he's, you know, laying out the territory before we get there. 829 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, small note, but I get so much stuff pushing me around on this show this week that's kind of annoying. I mean, you know, they're all good stories, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, but this one's important too. The governor signed the renter fee bill. This is the one I was telling you about this where people who can't come up with a down, like a deposit, you know, a security deposit first and last month, which is a lot for people who are not making a lot of income, this allows them instead to basically rent their security deposit instead of buying it. And so they would pay a small fee every month that the landlord would then turn around and buy damage insurance against renters. And so you wouldn't have to have all of the down payment in a lump sum ahead of time, and that would be able to get some people of lesser means into apartments or houses that they wouldn't otherwise be able to get. And it's not mandatory. Landlords don't have to offer this. It's just something that they can offer, and renters don't have to have it. Like, it's not an instead of, it's a both and. So the landlord buys insurance against damage. The renters have the option of, like I said, kind of leasing their security deposit instead of owning it. It's kind of a neat little thing. And Austal USA has gotten a Navy contract potentially worth as much as $3 billion. What they've actually got is $113 million fixed price incentive and a contract for the development of the Auxiliary General Ocean Surveillance Ships, the T-AGOS 25 class, eventually worth as much as $3.2 billion, but they're going to start designing competing for it to begin with.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Donald Trump tells Fox he will, of course, plead not guilty. In federal court in Miami Tuesday, Trump indicted by the Justice Department over his handling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Calling the charges election interference at the highest level, Trump lawyer Jim Trusty on Fox and Friends.
The Presidential Records Act means this entire thing is not in a criminal setting. That's a statutory scheme about document retention and relinquishing to archives that has no criminal penalty.
The indictment came the same day the House Oversight Committee viewed an FBI document from a confidential source that Joe and Hunter Biden were allegedly paid $5 million each by the Ukraine energy company Burisma for foreign policy help. President Biden calls it malarkey. 20 Texas teens hospitalized after a beach boardwalk collapsed under campers at Surfside Beach. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 News Radio 92.3. It's 81. Partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. The Naval Education and Training Command on NAS Pensacola's got a new leader today. Rear Admiral Jeffrey Cherico took over as commander at a ceremony at the NAS yesterday. He took over for Rear Admiral Pete Garvin, who has led the Education and Training Command there since July of 2020. He now moves on to serve as the president at the U.S. Naval War College in Rhode Island. In Washington, D.C., House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has had enough. He's canceled all votes for the rest of the week. This after a group of Republicans blocked party line bills from advancing to the floor. Congressman Matt Gaetz, one of the 11 Republicans who are voting against those measures.
We want to see a return to the normal budgeting process. We want to see review of individual bills come forward. And we're very disappointed that we just underwrote $4 trillion in debt over the next 2 years.
And this whole situation started Tuesday when the group joined Democrats voting against GOP bills. The revolt continued yesterday as well in response to McCarthy's debt ceiling agreement with the White House. A little bit more drama at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday. During a public forum, resident Michael Stevens alleged that there was a confrontation Monday involving Commissioner Kerry Smith that included using foul language and calling him names.
I am a disabled American who was attacked.
Yeah, this got a foul mouth, too. I did not say that word. I don't like somebody saying that I said something that I did not.
You did.
Joe, I did not. Show me proof of that.
And Stevens has been critical of Smith and supportive of Commissioner James Calkins in the controversy over his recent comments. The previous two times Stevens has addressed the board, he's been escorted from the podium by a Santa Rosa County deputy. The location of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office continues to be a contentious point, but it does sound like there's going to be a new office built in Santa Rosa County, and that's whether Escambia County leaders support it or not. Senator Doug Broxson talked with Channel 3 yesterday.
Three of the four counties have agreed to move the facility. That's the final decision. The only decision that Escambia can make is if they want to set up their own separate facility, hire their own separate medical examiner. And if they choose to do that and the citizens of Escambia think that's a good use of public funds, then that's exactly what they'll do.
In addition to Escambia County, the District 1 office also serves Walton, Okaloosa, and Santa Rosa County. And some of the Escambia commissioners believe the office should be in Escambia County because it accounts for about half of the autopsies done in the office. Charges have been dropped against a former Little League treasurer accused of stealing $16,000 from a Little League organization, but that doesn't exactly mean the case is over. North Escambia reporting charges have been dropped Due to jurisdictional reasons, the Escambia Sheriff's Office has transferred all of their files and evidence to the Atmore Police Department, who's continuing to investigate the case. Back in April, 48-year-old Paula Pugh was arrested on charges of felony grand theft and felony fraud for she was accused of stealing funds from the Northwest Escambia Little League. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Candy, what are you seeing on the roads?
Nothing, which is good, right? 98 not showing any delays. I'd mentioned that a little earlier. 110 and 10, again, showing no delays. Taking a look at Highway 90, again, that's clear all the way through, too. No problems west side. Fairfield looking great right now, and certainly if you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The Wrap coming up.
Thank you very much, Candy. Traffic, where no news is good news. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a chance of rain through the afternoon hours. Temperatures warming up today, upper 80s, low 90s. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying in the 70s. As you go into Saturday, our summertime pattern continues. Afternoon showers and thunderstorms possible. Temperatures warming up into the upper 80s and low 90s. Feeling warm through the afternoon and overnight, dropping back into the 70s. This nice weather will continue into Sunday with that typical summertime pattern continuing. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
81 right now in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, and 76 in Milton. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Your money now. Market a little bit mixed this morning. The Dow opening up down 1523 at 33,818.38. The S&P 500 is up 931 at 4303.24. The NASDAQ up 7198 today at 13,310.51. Our 10-year bond rate up just slightly at 3.75%. Gold prices are down today at 1,978. Silver prices also down at 2433. The White House celebrating the easing of the supply chain meltdown. The COVID pandemic and the war in Ukraine had brought supply chains to their knees, but now the Biden administration says the bottlenecks around the country are starting to ease. OpenAI being sued for defamation by a nationally syndicated talk show host, Mark Walters, alleging the artificial intelligence company ChatGPT made up a case accusing him of defrauding and embezzling money from the Second Amendment Foundation. This is believed to be the first defamation lawsuit filed involving ChatGPT. And American Airlines customers being allowed to rebook their flights with no fees because of the smoky conditions in the Northeast. The airline says passengers traveling to certain airports in 9 states and Washington, D.C., and that booked a flight by June 7th will have their change fees waived if they still want to travel to the same location. The smoky conditions may last into the weekend. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
So the hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, that is a wrap. Joining me in studio, we've got, as always, a couple of friends to kind of talk about the news of the week. We got Josh Newby, who is with the Council on Aging of West Florida.
Hello.
Good friend who I know from Leadership Pensacola class of 2016. The I don't know.
Thirstiest class ever.
I feel like, you know, everybody says they're the best class ever, and I just kind of feel like we don't need to say it.
That's right. It goes without saying.
I mean, you know, sometimes you just know a thing. Nobody can hear you, Candy, over my mic. Everybody can always hear Candy over my mic. That is the best part of having her on the show. Also in studio, we've got Dave Merzen, former state representative, good friend, and also the head of, what's your title? What do you, president?
Director
of First Place Partners. Dave, Josh, welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you.
Appreciate it.
Dave, your voice also, welcome.
Thank you.
He's here, everyone.
Sorry, I'm adjusting him.
I wasn't able to hear. We're working so I didn't out know whether I should speak.
Well, you know, it's weird. You don't actually have to have them. You can just listen to it, like talking.
That's exactly right.
So it does.
I can hear you without headphones.
You can. Amazing. It's perfectly fine.
Just in the room. There
you go. So where do you want to start? Somebody got indicted yesterday. I don't know if he's much of a significant figure in American politics, but he was a former president.
Yeah,
so. It was a coincidence.
Dave, you're a political guy. How many points was this indictment worth to Trump in the polls?
Easily 10 points.
Right.
And millions of dollars, I'm guaranteed. I think it took literally 2 minutes from the indictment.
Fundraising email.
That's exactly right. For the fundraising email to come out. So, you know.
If you couldn't
Grifter's
pay.
Gonna grift, you know.
You couldn't pay an ally to do you any bigger of a favor than this indictment does for Trump.
That's exactly right.
It's baffling to me that the people who, unless this is like, you know, secret Democrat scheme, the more we can help him, the more we get to certify that we can run against him, and he's our one chance to win is we think Biden can beat Trump.
And that is a good train of thought. The more the Democrats help Trump, he's a known quantity.
And like, that worked for him in 2022.
That's
exactly right. The Trump candidates did not do well, and that funding of the Trump candidates actually paid off for them, and so they're probably figuring, hey, you know, worked for us once, let's try it again, right?
That's exactly right.
So let's dig into that for just a minute, and I might be attributing too much intentional thought to Trump supporters, but do you think they understand how the grand jury system works? Do you think they have a fundamental mistrust of the grand jurists? Because this wasn't like some executive action that came down that was unilateral, right? It went through a process. It went through a system. So do you think that Trump supporters, for whom this is going to be a big win, is going to be seen as, you know, the system trying to take down their man once again, do you think they have a fundamental mistrust of the grand jury system?
I think it's my answer on behalf of them.
Sure.
I supported Trump in the election. I supported him in re-election. I have been a reluctant ally because I think there's a lot of problems I have with Trump, but everybody knows this, okay?
Sure.
And so, but here's my theory. You go through the Russia hoax, you go through impeachment one, you go through impeachment two, you go through the incident at Mar-a-Lago, you go through this sexual harassment, whatever the exact term, I forget. And it just starts to seem like, well, it doesn't matter whether this additional thing is legitimate or not. It's just another in this pattern of harassment. And, you know, he's, of course, long made the case that the deep state's out to get him,
right?
Because he's a reformer, because he does the things that they don't want. So my thought is, I think the average defender of President Trump isn't thinking through whether the grand jury is a reliable thing.
Okay.
They probably put it in generally that category.
I would have to agree.
Yeah.
I think there's so much distrust of government at every level, honestly,
sure,
these days. And they've done a great job of, you know, the FBI is out to get you, but I'm standing in the way.
Right.
The DOJ is out to get you, but I'm standing in the way.
Right.
So they've planted those seeds of mistrust for years now.
Yep.
So nobody believes what's coming down. So it's all fake news, and it's all created to bring somebody else down.
And that's been the brand, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't trust the news. Look at all of those liars in the back who won't turn their cameras and show you the crowd and all and on. And so there's, you know, we sometimes talk about insulation in information and confirmation bias and this kind of stuff. I mean, for all the good things I can say about Trump, and I have,
mm-hmm.
He has built a brand around a cultish mindset of anybody who criticizes me is therefore part of the evil alliance that we're trying to remedy and reform and fix. they don't take individual claims on their merit, generally speaking. It really is just this pattern of you're with us or you are the problem.
Is there not, yeah. I'm interested to know it from U2's perspective, is there not just a general weariness with this, though? Is there not just a sense of, you know, Trump was great for, you know, the accomplishments that he engineered on behalf of the conservative platform, but
you think you're the host of this show, time, Josh? I mean, what's going on here?
It's time. Sometimes I do. When I'm in the car listening to you, talking back to you.
Oh, here's the audition
I can do
tape.
A
all right.
Job. Is there not just a general weariness, like, let's move on from this guy?
So my answer, Dave can certainly may disagree, but my answer is for some. But I think they're the people who were never really in the first place. So people like me.
Sure.
You know, and so, and we're not the ones he's going to build 30,000 person rallies around.
Sure.
And so for some, yes. But look, anger sells, fury sells,
exactly
resentment,
right.
Frustration. And I mean, he's like, they're attacking him, they're attacking me, all that kind
right.
of identity, that version of identity politics, sure. Personal identification politics, Dave.
That's exactly right. I think you're straight on there.
So there you go. Does that help you, Josh?
That does help me.
Any other questions you want to ask today?
I'll save them for later.
What's on your show prep?
I don't prep, Andrew. I just come
you
in.
Just come
I
and let it go.
There that's
you
right.
go. That's
good.
Some
way
people
to
do it. 8:46 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's The Wrap. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Roads are fine, and we're not showing any of the slowdowns or delays right now. It's a weird room right now as we look at each other. Okay. 90 not showing any problems. 10, 110 again. All clear and not showing any issues on Navy Boulevard into New Warrington. And again, 98 clear from Navarre into Gulf Breeze. 437-1620 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Bye.
Thanks so much, Candy. And by the way, I will say something that I don't – it's sort of really, really obvious, but I don't think it's maybe mentioned very often. Trump is a master entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is a and I don't say that as a criticism. I say that as it's impressive mm-hmm. to watch somebody so capture the attention of the people who love him and the people who hate him and the rest of people, at least in 2016 for sure, maybe a little bit less so now, who are just like, train wreck, gotta watch. You know, like,
right.
That's right.
You know, from The Apprentice and even back in his investment
WWE
days and being
days.
In the newspapers. Yeah, everything
yeah,
and being in these
days
movies.
Taught him. Fight
Agreed.
The yep
and
exactly.
Agreed.
Look,
yep.
It's the persona that he has created and the sort of the presentation that he's got is an unbelievable, captivating brand.
Whereas Biden is a charisma,
charisma free zone, right?
Charisma free zone, exactly.
And you know, this is why, for example, you think of like, you know, why did Marco Rubio fail? Why did Jeb Bush fail? Why you know Chris Christie? For all of my criticisms of him, he sort of vaguely seems to get this.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a showman.
Yeah, and so, you know, even Vivek Ramaswamy is a little bit of a, you know, this. Certainly, I think DeSantis gets this. Time will tell whether he's got the same kind of juice in that. But that's something that you have to kind of be in awe of that.
I am.
Whatever you think of him as a politician or personally or values or effect, that skill is amazing, really.
Yeah.
So... And nobody on the Democrat side even comes
to management.
Well, that's a different question. let's talk for a little bit about just it's a smallish story, but Dave, I know this is the kind of thing you pay attention to because you pay attention to stuff's going on in Alabama as well, and I want to ask you the question about so I-65. I just saw this yesterday. They're pushing to widen it to 6 lanes from Tennessee to the coast, so they want expansion, right? And of course, some places it's already wide, but they want it everywhere. That's going to be very expensive because it's not, it's like, you know, I-10 is largely on land, but, you know, 65 goes over all kinds of water. So that is a huge
lots
amount of construction, lots of bridges. Right. I have no idea what the price tag is going to be for this, but it's going to be enormous. I mean, if you're talking $2 billion for just the I-10 Bayway, you know, you've got to be talking, I don't even know a number, you know, aircraft carrier numbers, like $8, $10, $12 billion
right.
maybe. We know I-10, they're going to pay for it with a toll. And I have been screaming about this for as long as that's been true. Do you think they call for I-65 to become a toll road?
I think they do. I don't think there's enough resources out there to do it. You know, government doesn't have enough resources to say, okay, we're going to solve that problem just in Alabama.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to toll it.
Well, that's terrifying.
That is.
But there's private there's private money out there that's probably going, just like you see car washes going up everywhere and storage units everywhere. I guarantee you there's money out there that says, okay, we're going to invest in Alabama roads. We'll get paid off over the long term because we'll charge you $2.50 for the,
right,
you know, HIV lane or the HOV lane, or, you know, they'll get the money back over time.
I hope not, but I can't see any other. I mean, that's like, we don't have any, we don't know that they're proposing that. We're kind of a little ways from that kind of an announcement, but that was my first thought when I saw this yesterday. I was like, oh, six lanes, how much?
There you go.
You know, and I mean, how much from me as I'm driving it? You know, that's going to be the result. The other story about Alabama that came out yesterday, big story, Supreme Court on a 5-4, okay, Alito and Roberts, or sorry, Kavanaugh and Roberts, siding with the three generally described as liberal. I don't love the term liberal for a justice, but you know who I mean. Siding with them to tell Alabama, no, y'all got to redraw these districts. They have them drawn right now in such a way that you wind up having one black U.S. congressperson, woman, and then you have six non-black. And despite having, what, like 27% black population, I think, in Alabama? And the Supreme Court says, yeah, you're going to have to redo this. And what you're going to basically have to do is make it to be two black districts. I think this is enormous news, not just for Alabama. Yep. Also a surprise coming out of this court particularly, right. But I guess, I don't know, Josh, you want to weigh in on this? I'll get Dave in a second.
I you know, let me hear from Dave first. I don't know too much about the case.
Okay.
So I think it's got lots of implications for other states, including the state of Florida.
You know,
the governor said he is responsible for the U.S. House turning to Republican because of his redistricting things. And there was some controversy in the northeast part of the state of Florida. I think there are Georgia, there are four or five states that I read about that are probably could be challenged under the same thing.
Yep.
And which puts the U.S. House in play for 2024.
Right, because if you're going to have to redraw these lines,
yep.
And we know that it's, what, 85-90% blacks vote for Democrats?
Yep.
Right? So you're talking about potentially a major shift in the House in that regard. I remember, I didn't look at it too much yesterday, but I remember looking at where the population is in Alabama, where it's highly black, where it's not highly black. And I remember thinking to myself, it's actually kind of hard to do what the critics say ought to be done, which is to draw two black districts. Because the problem is, it seems, you know, you seem like, well, 27% black, it's, how can you not have, right? But it doesn't work that way based on how people live and how the communities are aligned and where the roads are and the things that form natural boundaries for districts.
You end up gerrymandering, oh my, just like we had in Northeast Florida, where you had something that started in Jacksonville and then it went down this road and it ran over here and it was big C that went almost down to Gainesville. It's ridiculous. That's what we're not supposed to do, is gerrymander, but that's what they're going to have to do in Alabama and these other states.
Agreed. You're going to have to, you typically think of gerrymandering as this evil political thing, but they're going to have to gerrymander in order to create the racial minority majority in two districts. And so they're going to have to create artificially structured maps in order to do what the Supreme Court is telling them they have to do. So that's kind of the story here.
The philosophy behind this is fascinating to me, because I think it was a Baker versus Carr was the original Tennessee case that was cited as a political thicket, right?
Yep.
The Supreme Court didn't feel that it was its role to step into the self-determinism of legislative districts. But in Baker versus Carr, they called it a political thicket. They had to do that, otherwise you'd have the oppression of the majority. And so it's fascinating to me that this is happening, especially on this court, right? Granted, it was a 5-4 decision, but that they have elected once again to realize that they need to intervene lest the oppression of the majority do what it always does, especially in racially segregated parts of the country.
And obviously, it's not the same issue, but in Florida, we have, you know, or at least if you go back in a couple of years, you have roughly a 50-50 split,
right?
You know, Democrats and Republicans. But with the way the lines are drawn, we have 3/4 of the Senate and the House is Republican. You know, a little bit more in the House, a little bit less in the Senate. But still, it's not race per se in that case, but it starts to make you question whether the Supreme Court's going to step into those things as well. Because, I mean, all of that seems to open up to me. Am I wrong?
Do you worry that the makeup of the Florida legislature flips back to...
I think a lot of that's going to depend on, I mean, we drew Republicans in COVID, you know, a lot of people moved here. A lot of people now say they're leaving because of the Republican policies. I don't know how much that's going to turn out to be true. We'll see. But I don't think so, not in any kind of short-term sense.
No, I would have to agree. I think there are some – the last election kind of suppressed some of the demographic votes. You know, people were afraid to go vote because there were some prosecutions. You know, if you had a – you know, if you – registered to vote, even though your supervisor of elections told you it was okay, and you went to the polls, guess what? You violated the law, and so law enforcement came to you. I think that suppressed the vote.
It was a chilling effect.
Yes, exactly, and that will continue for a little while.
Until any of those issues either get clarified or resolved,
I wonder if County Commission District 3 will ever have to be gerrymandered to such a degree.
Well, we saw this in the last redistricting, right? Yeah, yeah, I mean, there was... And, you know, it's funny because you're not specifically supposed to do it the way they actually did it, which was they were literally swapping blacks and whites in and out of districts 1 and 2 and 3 in order to make sure that District 3 stayed a majority minority district, which is that still in effect? Is it still obligated? Okay.
It's a federal court case
that
resulted in that, that line.
But the way you do it is not supposed to be the way they did do it.
Right.
I mean, it was so overt. 8:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of county commissions, we have another county commission where there's been some, my God, stuff. We'll talk about that in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Some entertainment. Davis Highway clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton. Brent in Fairfield not showing any problems. And again, all clear from 12 to Palafox and W Street. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, you can text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. You've heard some of, I assume, the incidents, events, proceedings of the Santa Rosa County Commission. Now the most dysfunctional, although weirdly, like, they still get a lot done. It's just they seem to find a way. Well, James Calkins seems to find a way to bring out the worst in everybody. Does he have a chance of winning re-election?
The more people get in, the more he has a chance. There are two
just
people,
like the Trump thing?
There are two people in that race right now.
Yeah?
Again, and James. So there's three total.
So the anti-Calkins vote gets split.
Yeah,
that's exactly
and
right.
And the people who like his message, like his brand, hate the idea of a Democrat on a board and love somebody who has a, you know, a Trump stand-up cardboard poster behind them in their office. That's my man. All he's got to get is a plurality.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, him and his wife have this brand of firebrand, you know, conservative Trumpian politics. And God bless Colton Wright for trying to keep order
diplomat at all.
That, he does a fantastic job.
Best anyone
can
do
to maintain order. Yeah.
I still say I am still befuddled after the fact of Dave Peach losing his election. Mm-hmm. But I think you didn't see quite that because it was just the two of them. But still, that should concern anybody that, you know, looks at this and says, "Oh, this person's clearly the more qualified." And you're like, "What is happening
That's
here?"
Right. That's
all right,
exactly right.
I want to ask you about this. Just kind of announced yesterday, D.C. Reeves is looking at the Pensacola Motor Lodge to buy and rehabilitate and turn into affordable, attainable, low-income. I don't know exactly what his goal is here. I haven't talked to him about it yet. But, Josh, what do you think about expanding the housing supply of converting a hotel into dorms or apartments or something like that?
I'm all for it, and I don't know how anyone could be against it. I mean, we know the housing shortage. We know the homeless problem here, specifically in Pensacola. There's a lot that needs to change. You know, there's a tiny home ordinance that needs to get adopted on the county level to reflect the city level. There's a lot that needs to happen, but I think this is a positive first step. And because we lost the state lottery on the Baptist deal, right? Or we didn't move forward in that state lottery.
Yeah, they didn't get money on all that. That's right.
Right. So the city needs to do something, and I'm glad they're doing this. I'm fully in support of it.
Yeah, why hasn't the county moved on the tiny home stuff?
I think a lot of people don't want it in their backyard.
It's NIMBYism, 100%.
Well, I mean, okay.
The thought that
but
tiny
that's different.
Homes,
so if we don't allow them at all, they won't allow them where I don't want them.
Yeah, I think the thought is the tiny homes brings in returning to the citizens that may not be of the same financial stature
sure.
and that sort of thing. I think the city should get a third opinion on the value of that property. It seems to be a big discrepancy between
the sale price. Well, of course, the sales price was a while back, though. But yeah,
$855 versus $100 and something.
it's a lot.
Well, let's take a look at that.
But generally speaking, I'm with you. In the shortage environment we've got right now, if you can rehabilitate it and make it livable and usable, you know, hey, good. Josh, Dave, hey, thanks for all,
thanks,
as always.
Thanks,
listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.